Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
So you got $5 you can loan me? I was in my bank's having a little shaky trouble the other day.
You were an investor in Silicon Valley Bank?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm big in Bitcoin.
No, that was the other one.
Oh, well, that was the one in New York. What was the name of that?
I don't remember.
Oh, some simple bank or Simplicity
Bank. Bob's Crypto Bank or something.
I'll tell you, if you don't have your money under your mattress or in a good local bank, you're in trouble.
What's your hedge against inflation if your money's under a mattress?
Well, my mattress is my hedge against inflation.
I don't think so. That's not how that works. Okay. Well, welcome on board, everybody. We can talk about the banking industry, which is having a bit of a setback with a failure of two banks, one in New York, which was heavily crypto, and the other one, analysts say, over-invested in tech, right?
Right.
Too much investments in tech, and so the individual banker depositors there are being shored up by the FDIC and so on.
But I wonder, all the people really, when in 2008, they all said blamed it on the Republicans. I wonder if they're going to blame it on the Democrats this time. Probably not. They won't say it's the Democrats' fault.
That would be George W. Bush. So, I don't know. I hate to say it, but I don't think George suffered because of that. I don't think presidents get charged with that. I think it's bad policy at the banks.
They probably shouldn't. I mean, the president isn't running the FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what's supposed to happen, that the FDIC is supposed to be aware of what these banks are doing?
Ahead of time.
They start showing overbalance toward one group of investments,
well,
that they step in?
Here's what you could say about President Biden, that if interest rates are climbing rapidly, that puts banks in a negative spot.
Right.
So maybe that hurt that Silicon Valley
bank. And why are interest rates climbing? Because of inflation.
Right, which you can blame on, as our good professor said, you have to blame on Trump and Biden.
No, so just blame Biden.
Just blame. Okay, thank you. why would you take off the blinders?
Well, I'll tell you why I say that, because Biden was coming in saying that everything Trump did was wrong. He was going to change it all, but he didn't. He spent more money than Trump did. You know, he tried, I guess, to trillions of dollars that he put out there into the economy to keep it from sinking, I guess, as he would say.
Right.
But it also put a tremendous inflationary pressure on the economy.
Well, yeah, regardless of anything President Trump did, Biden's in charge now and is at the helm steering things. Inflation's tapering off, but now some Democrats in Washington are talking about another stimulus, and I'm thinking,
oh, for heaven's sake, do they learn nothing?
How insane could you be? I mean, I don't know.
Apparently
anything.
Pretty insane.
I don't know anything about economics, but I listen to everybody who says, well, it's this ridiculous spending.
And then the next thing you know, they'll be like that nut job in California whose state's going down the tubes, and he's talking about paying trillions of dollars in reparations. These people are not right mentally. I tell you, folks, they're off their rockers.
Right. They should use Marjorie Taylor Greene's communication system instead of telephone and yell through the mail.
Well, I don't think she's too stable either.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. It is the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Banking is a topic, but we don't have to stay on that. It is an Open Phones Monday. We can talk about some other things that are going on. Let's see. Speaking of Gavin Newsom, which I assume who is the person to whom you were alluding.
Yes, he was the person to whom I was alluding.
Tour, or as I would say, you could call it sort of presidential preview, is going around the nation, spoke in Iowa, and talked about anti-wokeism that he's advocating for, so good for him.
And then, of course, yesterday on Fox News, they were finally allowed to talk about the Dominion lawsuit, and Howie Kurtz did, I thought, an excellent job in putting that in
yeah,
into perspective.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, defending them. That was
funny. He wasn't defending them. He was painting this picture.
Gotcha.
What do you think was unfair? He said he's right. It's a First Amendment issue.
I didn't say it was unfair. I just said he is defending them. He's saying, look, this is a free speech issue. That's what it boils down to.
Isn't it?
Well, I think yes, but at the same time, I think there is, you cannot just go on the radio and say absolutely positively anything you wish about someone else, even if it's false and if it's going to cost them, and only to do so that you can make more money. So this is the key, is that they knew the statements were false, and in order to make more money, they said false statements about a company, and the company says they're going to empirically show it hurt them in their finances. So, I think they have a case here. But it is interesting, yes, but at the heart of it, I think his concluding remark is 100% true. It is a free speech case. What can you say?
It's very hard, I think, to prove that they did it maliciously, which is what they have to, or in reckless disregard for the truth. I don't think they can prove that.
Well, I think they absolutely can, especially with Tucker Carlson's
comments. Well, then we're going to find out, aren't we?
Right. Well, yeah, that is true.
But what the network did, in other words, what if Fox is guilty of anything, it's allowing people to have unfettered say about what they're doing. I mean, it is free speech for him to, Rupert Murdoch, to say, okay, Laura Ingraham, here's your show. Go ahead. Here's super host Carlson. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. Isn't it on them? In other words, Rupert Murdoch didn't say to them, hey, go on to the TV and lie tonight about it.
But he said, listen, if you go on and tell the full truth and nothing but the truth, our ratings will continue to plummet. So that is pressure on them to come up with their alternative line, as though they need it. I mean, they always have sort of the ultra GOP version of things anyway. But in this particular case, they lied in order to help the company make more money. So
you think that was their primary goal? We're going to go on TV tonight and lie to help Rupert Murdoch make more money.
Well, I can't read their minds, but I'm just saying that's the heart of this case.
I think it's ratings, to be honest with you. I think that's what
they
were shooting for, not money.
Money.
Well, it does, but I think their motive was the ratings, that they wanted to draw people to the television set, the base, if you will, of Donald Trump to watch their programs. I think they were concerned about losing the Trump base if they didn't report what Trump was doing. And Howie Kurtz made one point that was absolutely correct. The fact that a past president or president of the United States is claiming that an election is stolen, that's news.
Right, no argument there. The news people, I think, are on safe ground at Fox. It's just the commentators that lied and besmirched Dominion. That's the argument. I mean, I think if you want to go on the radio and say, hey, the election was stolen, I mean, we have people that call us every day and say that. But the key is that they wanted higher ratings, which, Joe, you used the word ratings, and I just cross that out and write in the word money because they correlate. So they wanted more money, so they lied about a particular company in order to make more money. And that is that's a bad business model. But is it free speech? We're going to find out. I think it's too far. You say it's okay. It's just a matter of where you stand on that.
These guys have contracts. They don't directly benefit at this moment from besmirching, as you put it, Dominion. They might gain something the next contract negotiation if their ratings have gone exponentially higher, but they don't gain anything immediately in a monetary value from having besmirched them. So their motive couldn't have been anything short term. If anything, it was long term.
Yep, could be. Yep, making money tomorrow is the same as making money today.
But I think that lowers Dominion's claim because there is no direct quid pro quo. I insulted you. I ruined your company. I destroyed you. I besmirched you, and I made a fortune doing it.
I think that's safe, but I would bet that you can show that the higher the ratings were, the more money they made. So that there is, it's not a direct quid pro quo, as you say, but it's a sort of a slow motion payoff. All right, well, we got callers waiting. Joe and I are ready to start a good week of discussion. We'd love to include you. Joe and I are trying to talk about this with our little partisan lean, but at the same time, do a good finding of fact and open up the phones.
Oh, I'm not a partisan leaner.
Okay. You thought Howie Kurtz was objective yesterday.
He was objective.
See,
he was very objective.
There you go. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can call call us now if you wish to, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We're glad to say that two of our faithful callers are on the line, Stan and Eric. Stan got in first, so good morning, sir. Go right ahead.
Good morning. As far as Fox goes, you're saying they did what they supposedly did because of money, correct?
Well, that's what Murdoch says. I don't know anything about Fox, but Murdoch says the ratings are plummeting, and so he pressured the anchors that have opportunity to commentate, not the news anchors, to commentate, to do whatever it takes to shore up the ratings. Now, he did not say, go on the air and lie about Dominion voting. But he said, do what it takes to get our ratings back.
Okay. I'll accept that as right now gospel. So when MSNBC and CNN lied about Trump for 6 years, that was for ratings, correct? And his family, not just Trump. Trump was a politician, so he's kind of, he can't sue. But his family can.
He's a public
they?
Person. I could think the rest of the Trump family could probably sue if MSNBC was deliberately lying about them to make better ratings or make more money.
They were, but that's neither here nor there. And the whole Trump organization they lied about. So maybe they can turn around and sue too because they lost money. But that's not why I called. So I'm just putting that out there. So, you know, it goes both ways. But why I called was, when do you think Fauci will be in handcuffs and Jane Fonda will be in handcuffs?
What they do now.
Not in our lifetime.
I know. Well, Jane Fonda last week on The View said out there, they were talking about abortion and abortion law and blah, blah, blah. And Jane Fonda says, you know, women's rights are being attacked as usual and, you know, it is what it is, the Supreme Court. And they're saying, well, what can they do? She says, we'll never go back. Jane Fonda says, we'll never go back to the way it was. And, you know, they can try and restrict and with the new laws and all that, basically. And the other ones, I don't know who it was. One of them says, well, what can we do? And she says, you know, whatever she said. And in the end, she says, well, murder is something. So she's insinuating that maybe we might have to murder pro-life politicians because, you know, they're the ones that want to push these supposed anti-abortion laws. And then they just kind of swept that under the rug and said, well, we need to carry on. And somebody, I think it was Whoopi, said, well, she was just joking. And the look that Jane Fonda directed at Whoopi was pure evil. Like, no, I wasn't joking. So you have to watch the clip to get the full context of it. But when will she be in handcuffs for threatening politicians with murder?
Well, that program is a train wreck, in my opinion, every day of the week.
Well, that is true. Now, Mr. Fauci, Dr. Is it Redfield? His name isn't spelled Redfield. It has a K in it, I think. He was the head of the CDC under Trump, and I don't know whether he retired or what the deal. I don't know how long he was CDC director before that. Okay, during COVID, though, he was the CDC director.
Yeah, he's not there now. It's Michelle Walenska or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I think it's Robert Redfield. It's not spelled Redfield. I think isn't there a K in his name? Something
well,
along those.
If there is, he doesn't know how to spell.
Yeah, okay.
No K. Just Redfield.
He was in front of a congressional hearing. And they asked him, you know, do you think that the coronavirus came from nature or from the lab? And he basically said from the lab. And he said that the DOD, the NIH, State Department, and there was another group were basically funding research into coronaviruses in Wuhan. So it was U.S. government funding gain-of-function research on the coronaviruses. He said that in under oath in Congress, okay? And then he says they were right in the end of January when things started heating up in 2020. He was in an email or phone call with Fauci and some other doctors, and they were saying basically that they couldn't have come from nature. It had to be man-made. And he says that's the last time he was involved with those phone calls because they pushed him out. Because he didn't, he basically said, no, it couldn't have come from nature. It's the molecular structure and all that stuff that they study says, no, it has to be man-made the way those things are done. And he was, you know, and the other doctors changed their tune a couple days later saying, nope, it had to be naturally occurring. So Fauci has lied more than once in front of Congress and the Senate about how he there was no gain-of-function research, the government never funded it, and blah, blah, blah. So when is the handcuffs going on Mr. Fauci?
Well, first of all, somebody has to charge him with something. Somebody has to take him to court, and somebody has to arrest him. And I don't think that that's going to happen. I'm, you know, you're talking about what was going on during the pandemic, and it's difficult. I mean, if he absolutely lied to Congress about it, okay. Well, other people have lied to Congress, including Republicans who have, you know, about the January 6th and some other things. So, are we going to slap everybody who lies to Congress in handcuffs?
Well, here's the point. All right, I've seen today that Jim Jordan is he's in charge of the committee that he was in front of. They're going to do a referral, criminal referrals, to the Justice Department. Now, that's where it has to be done. So what do you think the possibility of the Justice Department actually doing their job in charging Fauci with perjury and all that?
Well, how
because
many
they, did charge, they have charged people recently that supposedly lied to the J6 committee and all that.
I was just going to say, who? The January 6th committee. The January 6th committee, they sent criminal referrals out. Nothing's happened to them that I can recall of.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's one of them.
No, I'm talking about at the conclusion of their hearings. They said they were criminal referrals, but they haven't. Nobody's been charged or arrested yet, right?
Stan, there is a news conference underway announcing the charges for everybody who's lied to Congress and everybody who's lied in Congress. Let's go there live and listen.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Let's go there live and listen to it. Here we go.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's a picture of Dr. Fauci in handcuffs.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah.
Of course, he was also
in. Yeah, so that's my point, you know. But they have charged. They charged Bannon with contempt of Congress. They sent the referral, criminal referral, to the Department of Justice. They prosecuted, and that's still working its way through court.
Right,
I think they did find him guilty, and he appealed. So he's won. I think they did it to some other ones, too.
They weren't quite
as high profile.
Thank you, sir.
Does happen, but it seems to be politically motivated most times.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, y'all have a great day.
You too.
But remember,
you too,
Jane Fonda needs to go to jail.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Again. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got one call coming in, but we got one waiting patiently. I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, are their two locations. I was just down there looking at the Hyundai Veloster. I have got to get one. I could put two in my garage. They are so darn small and fast, and they get high gasoline mileage, and the 2023 is redesigned, as Joe looked at in the recent Consumer Reports auto issue that's out. It gets even higher gas mileage, and now there's a hybrid version of the Veloster. So I'll tell you what, it was a great car before. Now it's fantastic. So we're going to check it out at the Sunbury Motor Company. We will get Joe into the vehicle. I think if you use clamps and things, you can get him in it. I don't know that we'll be able to get him back out of it. But nonetheless, he's going to get a chance
to
drive.
How big do you think I am? I weigh less than you do.
It has to do with flexibility and youth. That's the quick.
Well, you ain't got that either, buddy.
All right, moving on here. I got to get this out of the way. But if you need a new Hyundai of any variety, large or small, or Kia, large or small, or a Ford extra large, they have somebody, some township's dump truck is down there, which looks like a fantastic vehicle, although it's a township vehicle with a sunroof. You don't see that too often. You can tell they souped up one of the nicer trucks and put the township decal on it, put a dump body on it, and it's already four-wheel drive, a full ton. So that's at the Sunbury Motor Company. They can get the vehicle you need at an affordable price. Check it out, sunburymotors.com.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of our good viewers does not watch The View.
Our viewers? Oh, we have viewers? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, all right. It says, The View is the biggest collection of stupid on television. Can't argue
ever,
that.
Oh,
boy.
No, I've watched The Five on Fox in the afternoon.
Well, they're not that bad. There's a liberal on there, Gerald Ford, the congressman, former Congressman Ford.
All right.
He's not a fool.
Jane Fonda should have been set afloat on a raft back in the 60s.
Okay. She still generates a certain amount of anger.
Right. Well, she was doing good for a while. She's doing pretty well.
She'll always be Hanoi Jane.
To you. Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. Eric, you're on the mark.
I would agree about the Hanoi Jane part. What she did back in when we were at war was really unforgivable. But, okay, so Stan, so they want Fauci and Fonda together in prison. Wouldn't that be a marriage made wherever, you know? It seems to me Fauci's was medical or clinical opinion at the time. He was just reporting it. As far as Jane saying murder someone, does that mean that guy who had the prominent poster on F. Biden, he should be put in jail for rape? Is that the same corollary we're talking about here, gentlemen?
I think Jane Fonda, by the sound of it, is intimating that maybe the best way to solve this is to kill a congressman or kill a pro-life person. But obviously it's facetious.
Right. Exactly. And it's television, right? And she didn't, like, say, you know, kill a specific person, in which case there could be, you know, I guess assault. That's not the reason I called. Annually, they talk about the state highest state employees and their salaries. I never made that list. I came close during my last year as my 20th year as an executive down in Harrisburg. But I can tell you the doctors I worked with who are now making that range, there's an explanation for that. It seems like a lot of money, right? But those doctors are also going head-to-head with the head doctors of these major corporations like Geisinger, like you at UPMC, and these other, other big companies. So if you look at it in that respect, the state essentially is hiring the same level of expertise, if you say expertise equals to salary, as those other ones. As to the highest guy, they're always the highest because there's always that bonus they get for a percentage of their investments that they get back as part of a bonus. I'm not sure what their base salary is, but if you look at their total end salary, it's based upon the investments, good investments they make, and they get a commission on that, as any high level, you know, Wall Street broker does.
Well,
so
they
if you look at it in that respect,
Eric,
it's more understandable.
Eric, Pacers is like $30 million in the red, so I'm not sure you should bonus their chief financial guy.
Well, I'm just explaining. I'm just explaining how we come about these numbers. If people say, "Well, you know, who's worth $500,000?" Well, if the head medical director, the medical director of Medicaid, who's taking on the medical directors from UPMC, Geisinger, the major ones serving Philadelphia. Before I left, I think the contract we had with the major cup company down in Philadelphia was $1.6 billion. That's checks being made to one company because it's covering like 300,000 or 400,000 souls down in Philadelphia, southeast region. So that there's a contract worth, you know, one contractor, $1.6 billion. Overall state Medicaid, $5 or $6 billion, maybe a little more. So you can understand why the head medical guy, the one taking these guys on, could be making, you know, $500 million.
What's your point? Are you saying they're paid too much, or they're not paid enough, or they're paid just right?
I'm trying to explain to the average layperson why the state is paying such high salaries, right? They say, well, no one's worth that. Well, yeah, they are. That's my point. Trying to explain.
What about
to the average layperson why $500,000 for anyone working for the Commonwealth is way too much money when the governor makes, what, $200,000, $250,000?
I don't think the premise of Penn Live is that they make too much money. I think they make exceedingly large amounts of taxpayer money, and they're just saying this is what your taxpayer dollars are going for. I don't think they use
any... My explanation, though, is that this is why, because they are on level taking on head-to-head the people with expertise on the other side, on the private side. The private side is making that much money. And that's why the level has to be. If you get what you pay for, and I believe in state government as anything else, you get what you pay for, that's why.
Okay.
That's my point.
Right. And there used to be a time, though, when working for the good of the state was a privilege, and that maybe the salaries weren't as high as they were in private industry, but there was an honor to be able to serve and to help out government and to help out your fellow man in that manner. Those days may be gone, and that they just have to compete on the salary level. But I think our government in Harrisburg is out of control, and I think they should offer up the salaries at a reasonable level. If somebody takes them, that's fine. But if nobody wants to take them, then maybe, you know, you'd have to go up high. But, you know, you got doctors at Geisinger, and they're all making $1 million a year. So all of the eggheads that do any doctoring plus administering, you know, that are up in the vice president level and in those director levels.
Incidentally, the governor of Pennsylvania is the third highest paid governor in the state, United States, making $201,729.
He should be paid $1.
Well, maybe Ed Rendell come back.
Thank you, Eric. Much appreciated. All right, we'll have open phones during the 9 a.m. hour. Sunbury Motor Company. Our sponsor is Joe McGranahan, our good conservative viewpoint here today. Mark Lawrence, terrible liberal. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings, welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across from me. And, Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. I'm Mark Lawrence.
Yes, I'm directly across from you. Why don't you say that again?
I didn't have the mic has a little dirt in the thing. That I don't think most people heard it.
You have a dirty mic. Goes along with your dirty mind.
All right.
Only kidding.
Oh, a dirty
only
mind.
Only kidding.
There's a phrase you don't hear every day.
No, you don't, as
you
a matter of fact.
You have a dirty mind.
We should bring that back, you know?
You have a dirty mind. All right. The Sunbury Motor Company, up to now, was our sponsor until they found out that Joe has a dirty mind. Now they're going to change. But if you wish to check them out, sunburymotors.com, you can call us 570-743-WDKOK, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We're glad to say that we had a caller waiting for a while on the line, but he is back. John from Sunbury. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
We're doing well, and you, sir?
I'm super.
Doing well, thank you. Listen, I wanted to talk about Silicon Valley Bank for a couple of minutes, but before I do that, I want to pick up on your last conversation. Why would we be surprised that people lie to Congress? The government lies to us all the time. The president lies. The cabinet lies. Our politicians, our senators and congresspeople lie. The FBI lies. The CIA lies. The Justice Department lies. Everybody lies.
Is that true?
You know, Washington has become a culture of lies.
You sound just a tad cynical there, John.
Well,
I am a tad cynical. I can remember a time, and I know I'm an old man, but I remember a time when for the most part, politicians stretched the truth a little bit, but they weren't outright lies. But now, Congress isn't going to do anything about people lie to them because, you know, they're part of the liars club.
Okay.
So anyway, that's my jaded opinion for this morning.
But that's not why you called.
Let's talk about Silicon Valley Bank. The FDI insures individual accounts up to $250,000.
Right.
So you can have an account for $250,000. Your spouse or significant other can have an account for $250,000. You can have a joint account for $250,000, and they're all insured. over the weekend, the government announced Silicon Valley Bank has gone down. There's probably probably a trillion dollars, maybe of uninsured, because many billionaires had significantly more in the accounts because the bank was paying big interest. And they were doing that because they bought long-term government bonds that were paying a decent rate of interest 2 or 3 years ago. But now you can get more in a 2-year government bond than you can get in a 30-year government bond. And so those bonds lost significant value. So we're back to the 1980s when the junk bond market collapsed and a lot of banks went south. So Silicon Bank was heavily involved in the ESG movement, the environment, social and governance thing that the Federal is pushing. Over the weekend, Signature Bank of New York on Sunday was closed by New York regulators for the same problem. So, you know, banking needs to get back to the banking business and not be so involved in all of this wacko leftist ideology that's being put out by the current administration.
The banks aren't the way they used to be, John. I mean, people used to have careers at banks. They would start at one bank and work their whole life there. And, you know, you knew your local banker, you trusted them. And then all this merging and, you know, and just assimilating banks, assimilating each other. There's one local bank that's like changed hands 6 times since I've been here. You know, right. So how can you have confidence in it when it doesn't stay the same? People that you dealt with are gone, you know, they've been fired or they've been terminated because of mergers and acquisitions. I mean, banking is a very personal thing, and you need to trust your banker.
I agree with that. And, you know, trust is trust. Every human interaction we have is based on trust. Okay, our relationships with our significant others, our husbands, wives, whatever, our relationships with our kids, every relationship we have is built on trust. When you break trust, it's really hard to regain that. Banks today, we have one or two that are local banks. The rest of them are in Charlotte or, you know, some place hundreds of miles away.
Yep. In what way is the Biden administration responsible for the banking collapse of Silicon Valley and Signature? I could only identify the height of the increase in interest rates. Of course, the Biden administration is undermining banks with this ESG stuff. So there's another aspect. Are there other aspects maybe I'm not thinking of?
Well, let's talk about why we have high interest rates. We have high interest rates because this administration has spent $7 trillion over the last 2 years, and they want to spend another $7 trillion this year, 6.9 or 6.8 or 6.9 trillion. So when you spend money like that, you are going to have inflation. So now to blame the Federal Reserve and say, well, it's the Federal Reserve's fault because they're raising interest. Listen, at 6.5% interest, your prices double every 9 or 10 years. Where at 2% interest, prices don't double for 36 years. So, you know, the Federal Reserve is just doing its job. It's just trying to get inflation back under control to some kind of a reasonable level because of the reckless spending of this administration. And so, you know, the administration caused the problem. Now they're blaming the feds for raising interest rates. Well, your choice is either to put everybody in the poorhouse except the very wealthy. 67% of Americans now are struggling just to put food on the table and gas in the car and so forth. And so, you know, the administration created the problem. Now they're blaming the feds for trying to fix it.
Should the federal government bail out these banks?
They're gonna. No, I stand corrected. The president and Janet Yellen have firmly said that they're going to bail out everybody, not the bank, but all the depositors.
Right.
Or even the billionaires, okay? And it's not going to be done with tax money. It's going to be done with fees charged on all banks.
That's
so
the FDIC,
you don't think that you're not going to pay for that?
I was going to say that's the FDIC fee, and that's partially funded by the banks. So what they're going to do is make all of us pay through raising the cost to our bank, who had nothing to do with the defaults or the problems.
Exactly.
So they're going to make more than $250,000 for people?
Well, yes. I understand that there are several investors in the Silicon Valley Bank that have hundreds of millions of dollars invested in that bank.
Gotcha.
Because they were giving really good rates. So why should we bail out somebody that has $100 million in that bank? The FDIC insurance is only $250,000, but we're not going to pass that on. There's not going to be any tax money, but Joe's exactly right. When the bank gets charged the extra fee, what are the banks going to do? They're going to raise their fees. So we're going to pay for it. The people pay always for everything.
So bank failures are inflationary within the financial transaction.
Take the Signature Bank in New York. A lot of those people invested in crypto. I'm sorry, if you invest in something that has absolutely no backing and no one has ever been able to explain to me exactly why it has any value at all, I'm sorry. I think they get what they deserve.
And why should the people have to pay for to bail them out?
Well, they wouldn't give us any money if they made trillions of dollars. They wouldn't be handing it out to us because they like us.
No, they wouldn't. So, just to point out that, government is not the solution. Government is the problem.
Okay. All right. Well, thank
As
you
Ronald
so much,
Reagan
John.
Said, the three scariest words in the language are the scariest words in the language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Right.
All right. Well, thank
Gentlemen,
you, John.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you. We'll ask you back in a few weeks. We'll
Take
get
care,
you back
John.
Here. So, John Shipman of Sunbury, an occasional good conservative co-host. I always think he's a little more libertarian than just straight Republican, but great analysis. So much appreciated there. On the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Call us now. 570-743-WKOK 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. I have some very brief news headlines. Then we got a caller on the line and another one coming in, so we will be taking a break shortly. Milton police say they've arrested a man for kidnapping, threatening to kill, and holding two women at knife point. Police tell 30-year-old Joseph Reyes Gonzalez held two women at knife point for about an hour yesterday. At some point, they were able to escape. He's awaiting arraignment on a series of felony charges. Linda Schlegel-Culver spoke to the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce recently about one proposal in Governor Shapiro's budget she does not favor, and that's raising the state's minimum wage to $15 per hour.
Not at this point a phasing in, but an automatic doubling, which is troubling for some of our areas, including our daycare centers, who are struggling as it is.
She says she has a lot of questions about social services and law enforcement if adult recreational marijuana is legalized and taxed. Penn Live is reporting they have an annual list of the top earners in Pennsylvania. There's about 12,000 state government employees now earning $100,000 or more. That used to be their threshold in order to get your name in the Patriot, so to speak. And now they say they had to raise that threshold to $200,000. And yes, there are 376 state employees who get to earn that much. Top earner in Pennsylvania is from Peasers. He's making $573,000. Half a dozen of the top 15 are physicians, supervisory physicians, working in the Department of Human Services, helping out there. That's what our good caller Eric talked about. This will irritate folks who monitor the energy world. President Biden is in California right now and is expected to prohibit oil and gas leasing across the entirety of the United States territory in the Arctic Ocean. Administration official confirmed to CBS Sunday, Biden intends to announce a new declaration that will see he's in California to announce the nuclear submarine partnership between the United States, UK, and Australia. He will announce plans to issue new rules protecting more than 13 million acres in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska from oil and gas leasing when the president unveils his Arctic drilling declaration. The anticipated protections will extend to many areas. When taken together, the areas covered by both conservation actions will include more than 16 million acres of land and water in Alaska. He says, we do not need this rich petroleum area to be drilled yet. I love that. We don't need to drill it yet. But the next president or later, maybe we will. All right. And finally, this would be good for you to know, Joe.
I'm waiting.
At least in Canada, flipping the bird is a legal right.
Really?
Yep. There have been multiple incidents leading up to criminal charges against individuals who flipped the bird at authorities in Canada. But a Montreal judge has ruled that flipping the bird is a God-given charter-enshrined right that belongs to every red-blooded Canadian, unquote. Now, that's the quote from
every
the
decision. Every red-blooded Canadian.
Flipping
okay.
the proverbial bird is a God-given charter-enshrined right that belongs to every red-blooded Canadian, unquote. He threw out the trivial cases that were pending in that court. Well, all right, Dale, you are on the mark. Thanks for wading through the headlines. Go right ahead.
I'm sure I got 30 seconds because I'm going to be clear. I got a question. Does our government represent the people, or do they represent corporations?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. For about the third time in all the millions of times you've called, they represent corporations.
Let you know, they represent corporations. That's why we have the border. That's why our representatives are not stopping the border, okay? And then another question. Is BlackRock a private equity firm? Is it?
Is BlackRock a private equity firm? I'm sorry, I don't. I think so, yeah. I think that's what
they were. Well, if it is, why is 90% of our representatives all invested in that?
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, why? Why? Why is that? Because them banks collapsed in California. They got Penny. We got BlackRock, which 90% of our elected officials are invested in, has $20 trillion in liquidity. So, I want to say, you know, even NPR, National Public Radio, are heavily invested in that, okay? So don't say they're not. They are.
All right, they're not.
Yes, they are. They are. You trust me. You better check that. NPR is heavily invested in that. Well, they're not invested in it, but they're making much money off BlackRock.
Well, you just said you tell me that they were invested. Now you're saying they're not.
They are.
How?
Because you're going to hang up on me in 30 seconds. That's why.
We're not hanging up on you. We're listening to every word you say.
Oh, I'm just going to tell you people right now, you are not being represented by your representative. Corporations are. And a debt collapse is so fake. You know it's pennies. It's pennies what they're... You know why these banks are collapsing? They're the ones who did not invest in all their money in BlackRock. You put all your chips. It's going to be digital currency no matter what. You're going to be a good citizen or a bad citizen, period. And you're going to have a bar stamp on your head.
A bar stamp? Yeah. What kind of a bar stamp?
Yeah. Well, what they tried in China for 5 years, that's a prototype. Have people scan digital currency. Yourself is going to hold all the information. And that's the way it's going to work. I can just tell you right now, the biggest bubble people need to pop, and you got to talk to your representatives, is keep on pressuring them on BlackRock. Every time you get a chance, keep pressuring them, because they're invested in too. That's where the money's going. All of our money, all of it, they're controlling all of our expenses. They're making sure you don't buy nothing Chinese.
But you told us the Bar Association was controlling everything.
Or the CIA, which
well,
is it?
Trust me, it's part of the gang. I mean, they're all part of it.
Oh, I got you. They worked. Okay.
Who runs the government? I mean, really, who runs the government, Jeff?
Corporation.
The Bar Association?
Well, I mean, ain't they all part of even see, they give you a Republican and Democrat, but basically they don't tell you they're all part of the same association, correct?
Okay. They're all the same.
I just want to tell you.
All right, we got to go.
Politicians, ask them about if they're investing in BlackRock. Every one of them are. Lindsey Graham, Romney. That's why this guy, McCarthy, he's definitely their whole. He's procrastinating. He's waiting for. I think within a month they're going to do something about the border. But right now they're expediting all these immigrants in here as fast as possible.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Dale. Thanks for the insights. Much appreciated.
We're
on it. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you so much. We'll take a quick break, but if you wish to get in queue, 570-743-9565. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Thank you so much for joining us. 570-743-9565. Cindy's been patiently waiting. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us. You're on the mark.
Good morning. I would like to talk about this issue with the salaries. First, of those listed here, Mark, I think you listed 13. Six of them work in the PASHE system, in the state higher education system.
What?
Wow. Is it any wonder, you know, we'll all recall that they are consolidating colleges because they're tanking in terms of their funding. They've got a 25% decline in enrollment, and here they are paying these people over $400,000 a year. Secondly, the top earner, who was an advisor, an investment advisor to the state employee retirement system, last year it lost $5 billion. time and again,
yeah.
I see Wolf, Shapiro, I think Corbett, all saying, let's just run them on an index and get rid of these advisors. I agree, because the index has always outperformed these advisors who go home pocketing Uber amounts of money. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And don't forget, when you look at these state salaries, an important thing, which is that these people get a state pension. And that pension is funded by, in part, a small contribution on their part out of their salary. The money that's supposed to be made by these investment people, who obviously are failing miserably. And finally, and the biggest part of it is, the taxpayer. We make up the difference. If there's not enough, and we have a billions of dollars shortfall in that fund at this point, especially when you take into account how much money we're paying these people. 12,000 people making over $100,000 a year in state government. You know, the state dog catcher in chief is listed on the state website as making $122,000 a year to run the dog catching. I mean, for heaven's sake. Am I the only person who thinks that's patently absurd?
Well, how many dogs did he catch, Cindy? Maybe he's doing a hell of a job.
And I have no clue. But let me tell you, why should these people be making so much more than the mean salary? I've brought this up before. They shouldn't be making more than the average state income, whatever it might be, which last time I read was about $68,000 a year. That's the median, the average amount of money that someone in this Commonwealth earns. Why are we paying these state employees two, three, four, five, six times what the average person makes?
So we can steal them out of private industry. We get the smartest of the smartest by stealing
the
private.
No, we don't. By any stretch of the imagination. I'm sorry, Mark. If these people running PASHE were so smart, why is it tanking? Why are they consolidating schools?
They're doing the best they can.
If this CSRS guy advising on the pension fund thing, if he was so smart, we should be up $5 billion, not once again losing billions of dollars in the fund.
I think they're going to give him a bonus, too.
No doubt. I would not be the least bit surprised. And frankly, what galls me the most is then these people, you know, the former president of Penn State retired with a pension. Let me repeat this, a pension over $400,000 a year, taxpayer-funded pension. For the life of me, I cannot understand why. And the story of the thing has him with a big, big grin on his face. Well, heck yeah. And as long as he lives here in Pennsylvania, remember, he doesn't pay one penny of state income tax on that money.
And he never has.
Nor any local school district funding money or his borough funding money. He pays no taxes on that money because we have that law. Understand why we want to shield the income of seniors making $30,000 and $20,000 and $10,000. I totally get that. But the only answer to that is to let people walking off with $400,000 pensions also pay nothing. It shows an incredible lack of imagination. If we can write laws that give some corporations no tax bill, which the Pennsylvania legislature has done in spades over the last 10, 15 years, if we can do that, we can figure out how to tax wealthy pensioners and still shield the impoverished ones.
Do you think Governor Shapiro will reel in anything?
No. This is the man who went to this sporting event I don't know how you could see it as anything but the taxpayers' expense. We funded this private corporation, right, who's supposed to be doing economic development, and they took him and some of his workers to the Super Bowl, paid everything, the flight, the room, the transportation, the food, and the tickets, claiming that this was advertising for Pennsylvania. This is what Josh Shapiro did within 2 months of going into office, so I have no faith in the man at all.
Well, don't you think having the governor at the Super Bowl is a big benefit to us taxpayers?
Sure, if he wants to go.
It didn't do me a bit of good.
It didn't.
Now, show me what road it got paved. Show me what poor person it got fed. Show me what school saw a better outcome in terms of reading or math skills.
Well, it irritated millions of Pennsylvanians, so there was a high cost for it.
Well, I mean, I think Governor Wolf was much more serious about curbing these abuses and state officials accepting all these gifts. And I think he was dead serious about it. I can remember being in a meeting where with a couple of PennDOT people where they couldn't even accept a bottle of water. Right. They had to bring their own water.
Well, we had guests here.
Water every time I go somewhere, Joe. I don't know why. It just fascinates me. Oh, no, this whole argument about the bottle of water. It just fascinates me. Everywhere I go, if I want water, I bring it with me, or I use the public fountain, although they've shut most of them down. Why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? This is the perverted thinking.
Well, no, I was only using that as an example to show how serious Governor Wolf was about curbing these abuses. I don't really think there's any problem in handing somebody a bottle of water. I can't imagine that they would cast a vote in my direction just because I gave them some water.
Right, and Shapiro's an insider, so he'll move all that stuff back the other way towards the unethical.
Right.
You love Proverbs. Did you ever hear the give them an inch and they take a mile proverb?
Yeah, and the same one about the camel getting his nose in the tent. So
there you go. So I mean, for me, if there was anything that Governor Wolf did, I admired it was that you cannot have some but not all. It just doesn't work. You either have it or you don't. Especially when you're dealing with the level of corruption in state government here in Pennsylvania.
And there it is. That's
right,
the other
there
thing.
It is.
We're not getting our money's worth, to say the very least.
I'll tell you what, it's become absurd. It's they should be embarrassed. And instead, you know, here's this man making $500,000 a year, losing all this money.
You would be embarrassed if you weren't making out. Like if you were in Harrisburg only working for $20 a week, you would be embarrassed by the corruption. But now you go to Harrisburg and they pay $100,000 a year, and of course you see all the corruption, but you're like, well, I don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
They'll kick me out. Okay, we'll get that big salary.
Right. Right. It's ridiculous. And I was looking this up. I wanted to see who the top state pensioners were, and then I saw Erickson, which, of course, I already knew. So nobody's beaten him yet. And where did he retire from? Penn State. Penn State, who's whining that even though they're getting as much money this year from the state taxpayers that would cover their whole supposed deficit. That's not enough. Oh, we need more money. We need more money.
Right.
That's $2 billion in reserves. Oh, we need more money. Got to fancy up Beaver Stadium yet again.
Until you want to investigate them or look at their spending. Oh, no, we're independent. Leave us alone.
This is all secret stuff. You can't know
anything. All right. Thank you, Cindy. You got me going, too. I appreciate it. All right. What's your view on this? PennLive.com has got their list of the top salaries in Pennsylvania, plus their link to all of the state salaries. So if there's somebody that works in the state system, for anybody, you can look it up in Penn Live. So you might want to check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got one call coming in, but we'll take more comers. 570-743-9565 is the telephone number. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. All right, welcome back. You can call us at 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We got a half a dozen texts left over, but no new ones at the moment. And you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM, which two people have done.
We do have texts that are current and relevant, and one of them says, if Fonda was on a conservative network calling for the murder of pro-abortion politicians, Eric would be up in arms calling for an end to her and the network.
Okay.
Then, sorry, Eric, Fauci was in charge of the NIH when they funded gain-of-function research in coronavirus in Wuhan. He was doing CYA for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but
and I believe
not...
that CYA refers to protecting your posterior.
Okay. Yeah, we're aware. Thank you. But I don't think gain-of-function research is illegal. If you use U.S. dollars, you invest in that, and you hope to gain something from it and learn from it, which they were doing some sort of exchange of information, I don't think that's illegal. You might say it's ill-advised, but, you know, look what we do in Washington and Harrisburg. To carve that out, oh, I finally found a crime in Washington. We're helping to fund gain-of-function research in
but
China.
But what would be the point of doing that? Why would you want to make a virus more virulent than it has to be?
Do you understand what virologists do?
I do understand what
they
do.
Okay. Why would you not want to come up with a more virulent vaccination, one that's capable of handling a stronger virus? So that's what they
but
do.
If in the, to
they
do
make it,
it
stronger so
Mark,
that they can fix it.
If in doing that you create a virus that could destroy all of mankind so you can cure it, what kind of sense does that make?
All right. I get what you're saying. I'm just explaining why science functions. It isn't for us to understand.
Well, it functions for a reason everything else does. People want money, so I get money if I do this job.
There you
give
go.
Me this job, and I'll make money.
It's the science of earning. One of our listeners says, yeah, the dog law officer that earns $112,000 is nothing. In the county of Los Angeles, the deputy director of the Department of Animal Care and Control earns $186,000 in Los Angeles.
Well, I hope the dogs are getting good care.
Oh, yeah. Really. And there's no stray dogs, we hope.
Charlie says, I usually respect Cindy's comments, even if I disagree with them. However, saying that the state employee should make no more than the average salary in the state is insane. Not all state jobs are created equal. State employees have different levels of education and responsibility. There are many highly intelligent professional state employees that make significantly less than they would if they had the same job in the private sector. I'm sure Cindy doesn't think all nurses should make the same salary. Why should all state employees make the same salary? Signed, Charlie.
All right. He also said instead of insane, he wrote inane.
I'm sorry. Well, but, also insane.
Well, I'm not sure which he meant.
I don't probably think inane fits there as well.
I don't see any other typo, so probably meant inane.
I don't think inane fits as well there as insane.
That is in your view.
In my view.
Right.
What they should have said.
That's your favorite topic. All right, Mike, thank you for patience. Thank you for the email and the text. We go to the caller. Mike, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Just was able to tune in here in the last few minutes, and I heard Cindy speaking, and she was talking about what she believed to be exorbitant pensions of the fella. I can only tell you what I know about the state pensions. I have friends that retired from teaching And, you know, they've been lifelong teachers. And when they retired from teaching, their pension was higher. Their take-home pay of their pension was higher than what they were taking home when they were teaching. And that's because, you know, they're not paying the state income tax anymore on it, and they're not paying Social Security and Medicare. So instead of, you know, I guess it was about 92% of what they were making before they took home. And I think that in itself is unsustainable for the taxpayers to have pensions. And listen, I'm not taking anything away from teachers. There's no way I'd want to be in the classroom today. Absolutely no way. You know, unless it was in the absolute best circumstances with the best students and the best administration and the best parents. Other than that, someone else can do that job. That's the way I feel. So I'm not criticizing teachers. I'm just talking about the system that we have when it comes to public service pensions, especially in the areas of teachers. And I'm sure it's pretty much the same in a lot of the other ones. Now, that said, I heard you were talking about the bank situation. And my feeling about that is, yesterday morning, Janet Yellen said there's not going to be any federal bailout, okay? Because, you know, some of the stories were getting out about this bank and what they were doing and the things they were into, and it upset people. And she said there's no taxpayer money. But then by last evening, all of a sudden, there's going to be a bailout, but it's going to be in another form, but it's actually taxpayer money. So something changed. And again, I don't know whether this was the Democrats getting the narrative out there first, no taxpayer bailout, because the first thing that, the first lie that people hear is the one that they remember. You know, maybe that was another example of that. So, I'm not really up on this business, but I can say that I know that people that had money in savings accounts in banks, you know, just the regular people, that were getting almost 0%, and then they could find out they could get 4% by sending it to a mutual fund. I'm sure a lot of money drained, even in our local area of Bloomsburg, of banks. People taking money out of, you know, 0.9% and being able to get 4.2 at a mutual fund. So if it's happening down at the lowest level, I'm sure it's happening bigger, higher up. The more money you have, the more tricks that you know to get ahead. And then when it comes to these banks, I was actually listening to a radio show, and I heard a guy say that we're talking about the bank. You know, that first they were saying, well, this is an isolated thing, it's just this one bank that they did certain things, blah blah blah. And the guy referenced Warren Buffett, who said there's never just one cockroach. You know, you see one on the floor. Well, I don't know, you guys never did if you didn't live in Florida.
Don't believe
I've
ever heard
one
that
cockroach,
one.
There's a whole bunch more, you know.
I have to remember
that
one.
That there's other banks susceptible, basically.
We should have that laminated for our wallets. There's always more than
Warren
one
Buffett.
Cockroach.
Well, I think Warren owns that phrase. So,
yep. Yeah. Okay, so now in my mind, I've been factual up to this point. And you know I love to make jumps of logic and correlate things and come up with conspiracy theories. I think I'm well known for that. That's why they call me a Trump pansy. But a friend of mine the other day said to me, and his son is a relatively conservative for this day and age. He's younger, of course. And he was just glued to MSNBC. And the dad came in and said, hey, I'm fixing some breakfast, you know. You want anything? And the kid just kept staring at the TV. And the guy says to me, he says, it was like my son was mesmerized. It was that man and woman team. I don't know who they are. They're famous on MSNBC.
Joe Scarborough and Mika?
Yeah, that's them, yeah. And he said he was just mesmerized by them. And I couldn't get his attention. I had to yell. And I, as I mentioned before, I'm reading a book called Rape of the Mind. And the first two chapters I'm on, and it's really about the brainwashing of prisoners of war in North Korea by the communists. And I got to thinking, was the lockdown an opportunity to get a vast segment of the population isolated from school, isolated from church, isolated from other human contact? And the only messages coming in were on that MSNBC and CNN, and it was almost like, instead of brainwashing the leaders of the American army against the America, they were brainwashing the, you know, independent voters and the conservatives to hate people like me that they call Trump pansies,
but Mike,
and hate conservatives, hate Republicans.
Mike, you could go to church if you so chose, and you also there's probably 600 channels on satellites and streaming and regular SCCV cablevision. So I don't think nobody, I don't think anybody was forced to watch Fox or MSNBC.
No, I'm not saying anybody, but there was a relatively captive audience. And weren't most of the churches closed during that time?
I don't think you're a captive audience if you're...
Amish went to church. I know that.
Well, regular people could go to church if you so chose. But anyway, anybody could. But in any event, I feel if your business is shut down and you're locked down at home, to say that you are forced to watch one of 200 channels is a bit of a misnomer.
Oh, I never said forced, did I?
I think you
talked
about... I
think this is another one of those cases, if you go back and review the tape, I didn't say forced.
Well, you said they were brainwashed, but how could you brainwash them unless they're...
Unless you're forcing them.
Taking the big doses of one or the other.
It's called a numbers game. If you have a population of, let's say, 150 million or whatever, however many people are off work, and they're spending their time in front of the TV, what percentage of that population is being affected? Let's say it's only 10%. Now you're down to 15 million. How many people did it take to change that last election? I'm just throwing a conspiracy theory out there. Numbers. Trying to look at things a little different than, you know, we hear on the news. That's all.
All right, and I'm trying to continue the conversation. I'm not just saying you're wrong.
By putting words in my mouth, that's not the way I want to continue this conversation.
I'm confused.
I think we're having a conversation with all sides being directed, mine plus yours. But anyway, okay, so you are concerned that some of the brainwashing that happened during the pandemic was presented on some of the main channels.
MSNBC and CNN. For the life of me, I cannot understand.
And Fox isn't doing
why?
It? Why? I mean, they have like...
I don't know. I don't watch them. Seriously, I want to know what the other side's doing.
I got you.
What I don't understand is how we were able to have people take to the streets with all kinds of violence and burning and looting and destroying property and basically... From what I understand, there wasn't any effort to stop it, you know. And again, here's the excuse making. You know, everybody has to wear a mask. Everybody has to wear a mask. And then all of a sudden, the streets filled with protesters without masks. And then all of a sudden, the right to protest trumps the requirement to have a mask. Yeah, I mean, it was just one thing after another. That's all I'm saying. I think that was such a dark moment in our history. And I think we're still reaping the damages that were done. And again, the people are saying all the pandemic money that was passed out is was into the system, and that's what caused one of the major causes of the inflation, that money to spend, and they weren't spending it in restaurants, so they were buying things, you know, and having it shipped to their houses in trucks, and that, you know. And I just think that the whole thing was mishandled. And again, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I don't think we made the right decisions with the information that we had at hand.
That's being critical. I hate to tell you, but that's being critical.
Well, and I think President Trump and President Biden both have quite a bit of second-guessing underway. I mean, the masking and vaccinations are all being looked at. You know, how much did they help? This is the hindsight that we're getting from you know, that time is allowing us to do.
Hindsight is always better than foresight, unless you have foresight.
All right, we got you, Mike. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Always glad to
have
hear from
one,
you.
Man.
Take care, Mike.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. One of our good listeners.
Yes, Charlie says, just FYI, I did mean inane, not insane. Stupid, not crazy. Just thought I'd clarify.
Got to be clear.
I took you one better. I thought you meant crazy. So.
All right. And then read this, and then we'll take the break.
All right, RB from Mifflin says, gentlemen, Mike forgot to mention teachers no longer pay into the pension system when retired. That's the reason their retirement salary is higher. I was paying over $500 of pay into the system when I retired.
Whoa. Hmm? I said, whoa.
Oh, okay. I feel I deserve every penny of my pension for my years of service. Thank you.
All right.
So thank you for your service, RB.
Five. Teaching service, too,
teaching
not
service.
Military
well,
service.
I didn't say military service.
570.
I think teachers deserve thanks for the service
for their
they put
service.
In.
I think they did receive some thanks, and it came in the form of a salary.
A pension,
and,
right.
And a big pension. All right, 570.
So that's all the value you put on teachers, eh?
I have high value for teachers. I think that's probably one of the most critical jobs we have, other than medical fields, but it may be the same as medical fields. But I think you have to be reasonable with taxpayer dollars. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. 570-743-9565. Am I wrong? Should be reasonable with taxpayer dollars or pay people who single-handedly oversee the loss of $60 million? Give them $500,000 a year salary plus a big pension on the way.
I just hope the folks at the Turnpike get a nice bonus this year.
Yeah, exactly. $12 billion.
It takes a lot of talent to screw up that
yes.
badly.
Right. All right. 570-743-WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. Mike says most teachers make more retired than when they work. Not correct. Some superintendents, principals, and teachers that worked over 40 years can collect more. Retiring before 35 years results in penalties for each year. Very few work 40 years, especially today. This is from a retired teacher, by the way.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you, retired teacher, for setting us straight.
And thanks for your service. Thanks for your military service, as Joe would say. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. You know, for ever since this, I call it the plandemic started, I call it a plandemic.
Yes, we know.
And even up to today, it's starting to come out in the mainstream media.
What?
It's looking to them even like a plandemic because the gain of function and the leaking. And it was definitely a plandemic. Pandemic, you know, for various reasons. First of all, to get control, to see how much they could control the people by getting us to wear a mask that did absolutely nothing. Even the mainstream media admits that now. The N95 was the only mask that would have done anything. So we're not looking so stupid, are we, anymore?
Well, it depends
on
how.
People have called in for years,
yep, still are.
Ever
how
since
much,
it started.
How much faith do you place in Geisinger? They're still requiring you to wear masks. I went in for an appointment the other day, and they said to me, the lady behind the reception desk said, get a mask!
Oh, yeah, doctors are still wearing them, too.
They're still. They were getting a lot of money out of this. Yeah, they're going to keep the narrative up, even if it's a big lie.
Well, of course, they apparently didn't make a lot of money last year. I think their financial statement shows they lost money at Geisinger.
Yeah, they made a lot from the COVID-19.
Well, apparently not. Well, yeah, their reserves are good. Dan, we're going to have to take this up tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Yep,
take
you
care.
Guys have a great one.
You
hey,
too, Dan. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Always good to hear from you. All right, we'll take this back up tomorrow. We'll table it until 8:30 a.m. This is WKOK Sunbury.